the book of Psalms, and we're at the 18th Psalm. This is the Psalm that was written by David, without any doubt, after that the Lord had delivered him finally from the hand of Saul. I think it was written with many other great scholars. I think it was written after the death of Saul. David had been finally now delivered from the hand of Saul, and he falls down before the Lord, and he just pours out his soul. Pours it out. I'm sure that's where all the great hymns came from. The pouring out of the soul, and I think that's where all the great prayers come from. And he began like this: I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. And that's a great text in itself. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. I'm very sure that when this first part of the service is over and we sit at the Lord's table and our memories go way back to Calvary and we survey the wondrous cross, I'm sure that some of our hearts will be pouring out and saying, I will love thee, O Lord, my sacrifice. You can change it then, can't you? You might be tempted to say, I love thee, O Lord, my Savior. Oh, I'm sure that bit's perfectly true. And I think that some of you could take a moment just now and look back through your pilgrimage. Remember, we're strangers and pilgrims down here. And we're going through a waste, howling wilderness. And the children's chorus is perfectly true. Only the Lord knows the way through the wilderness. And there have been times in all of our lives when we have been at wit's end corner in the wilderness. And we just didn't know what way to turn. And we look back and we can see His guiding hand upon us in turn after turn, and because of this you could say, I will love thee, O Lord, my shepherd. You could change it many times, you know. You could preach from the text alone. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. I will love thee, O Lord, my sacrifice. I will love thee, O Lord, my Savior. I will love thee, O Lord, my Shepherd. And I think that all of us can go back to times when the storms of life were raging. And tempests wild on sea and land. And somehow in the storm and in the darkness, the Lord came. And He was wonderful. But He was more than wonderful. He was the mighty God. And with His divine might He brought peace. He's the Prince of Peace. And I think that we could say, as we look back and remember those occasions, I will love thee, O Lord, my sufficiency. Oh, it's a great text, but it's not the text I want this morning. Psalmist has got to a place where he's finally delivered from his enemies. And he knows it's just the strength of the Lord that has brought him through. He says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. In verse 2 he says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, My God, my strength is back to it again. The Lord is my strength. And he says many things in this psalm, and at verse 32, he comes back to it again. It is God that girdeth me with strength. He's back to it again. Because he's taken up with the strength that the Lord gave him down through these years of trial and trouble. And then at verse 39 he went a bit further with it. He said, "For thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle." That's the text for this morning. I want to talk to you about strength for the battle. That's what I want to talk about. You know, this text, if you look at it carefully, you can see the word thou. For thou, he's talking about God. For thou hast girded me. And you want to get the thou and the me. And then you want to get the word battle into perspective too. Because he's saying, thou hast girded me on to the battle. You see, when he says, thou hast girded me, he's talking about the Lord's strength. That's what we really want to talk about. And when we get the word me into perspective, he's talking about the Lord's soldier. Because he's marching into battle. So that the whole text has to deal with the Lord's strength and the Lord's soldier and the Lord's battle. Remember, whatever battle you walk into in the spiritual realm, the battle is the Lord's. It's always the Lord. And I want to talk to you this morning about different kinds of battle that you will walk into and how you can get strength for the battle. Sometimes the battle that we're called to fight, it's what one might call a lone battle. I'm sure you've heard the phrase before now, poor soul, he's fighting a lone battle. You've heard that, all right. Maybe you're even that poor soul. Maybe you've got to fight a battle alone. I think that you remember this, don't you? You remember Paul writing to Timothy, and this is what he said. Don't turn to it. He says, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. And what he's talking about is the time when he had to stand before Caesar. He was taken to Rome as a prisoner, and he had to go to the high court and stand before Caesar. And you know, as the great apostle who had helped so many people, stood up to give his evidence that day before this great Caesar. As he looked round the court, there wasn't a friend in sight. No man stood with me, he said. But all men forsook me. And you might have to stand there one day, and I've stood there many times, and I'm prepared to do it again. I am not leaning on this assembly, you know. If necessity arises, I'm prepared to stand on my own. Don't you make any mistakes about that. Because as I began the race, I shall finish it. But as he writes to Timothy and tells him, he says, At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. And then quickly he says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. It's how you get strength for the battle when it's a lone battle. You just exercise faith. And you put out your hand and touch him. He's at your elbow. And he'll always be there. And he'll never leave you, nor forsake you. But it's the sense of his presence where nobody else is there that gives you strength. You can always count on him. But the battle that we must fight and have to fight is not always a lone battle. You remember that Moses blessed the tribes, and when he came to Asher, he said this. He says, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Now, I'm afraid that the great many preachers and the great many men who write commentaries that I've noticed, they haven't got the hold of this. Because they try to read it like this, as thy days, and they're thinking about the length of days. They're thinking about as thy days, as long as you live, so shall thy strength be. Well, I'm afraid we could go through the country this morning and find thousands of old saints on beds of weakness, and they can't even get out of this house. And they're being tested in the latter days. It has absolutely nothing to do with the length of your days. It has to do with the kind of your days. As thy days are, tomorrow might be a kind of day, you know. There are kinds of days in life. I could show you a lot of them this morning. I once made a study on all the kinds of days that can be in life. And I can tell you this meeting time wouldn't allow me. I think you remember David going back to the city that he had left, and it now was burned with fire. It says David was greatly distressed. David, remember, the great king, the sweet singer, the man who wrote the 23rd Psalm. It was a day of distress in his life. And you may not get out of this world without going through one of these days. Day of distress. You remember all about Job, and I don't need to go into him losing 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 7 sons and 3 daughters. It was a day of disaster. It was a terrible day. And I sincerely hope it will never be yours. I think you know this, that the morning that Gideon walked out with 32,000 men behind him, general with 32,000, and you can march forward. You know, God stopped this army on the road. God said to Gideon, you just turn around and speak to them and say, if there's any man faint-hearted here, go home. I think you know that Gideon, who was a great warrior, turned around very simply and said, if there's anybody scared here, way home. 22,000 go up the road. I think it was a great disappointment to him. It was a day of disappointment. Oh, I can go on through the days for you easy enough. There are so many kinds of days. And any one of them may be yours. I'll tell you, there's strength for that day. As thy days, whatever kind they are. Strength for that day. Yeah, you can go to the throne of grace to find grace. And the word grace is the word strength, you know. Find strength to help. Time of need. Always there. You see, the Lord can strengthen you by His Spirit in the inner man if you only go and ask for it. So that you get strength because of His presence, and you can get strength for the battle because of His power. Ain't that amazing? You know, I was saved just over 41 years ago now. Just this month it will be 41 years. On the 22nd of this month. And at the same time that I was saved, maybe a day or two before me or maybe a day or two after me, I'm not sure, there was a girl saved in our town. She came from a home in what's called Mill Street with tumble-down houses, and her father and mother were the greatest drunkards in the town and came rolling home every Saturday, stupid drunken, fighting on the street. It was a continual scene. Yeah, this big girl of theirs could really say. And we went to the same assembly and went to the same prayer meeting, and I used to hear her praying a phrase or two when I couldn't open my mouth. Then we used to stand in the same open airing, you know. And then, of course, God laid His hand on me, and I began to have mission after mission after mission. Willie Wilson asked me to go to preach at the Grove, and I went for 5 weeks and preached, and I don't know how many were saved, and before it was finished, old Tucker came over and said, "You'll come to Temple Moor Hall immediately you're finished." And I went there for 4 more. George Weir came from East End. It's only 100 yards down the street. He says, "You'll start in with us." And then I went from there to East End and back to Mount Pottinger and to the Iron Hall all at once. I think it was 26 weeks preaching. No stop. And hundreds saved. And I used to bring this big laugh to give her testimony. And it was at that time that the Lord called her, blessed be His name, to go to Africa. Can I say this without you getting excited? All the money that I ever got from missions for those days, I gave to her. I kept her. At least I did a big lot of it. Folks thought I was earning a fortune. Oh, I gave it away. And I gave it to her. I knew she was a child of God. And she stayed in Africa. And she didn't take her furlough. And she stayed there for almost 14 years. And when she came back, I met her at the plane with Joe Bolton. She was now a woman, well matured, and had been through the thick and thin. And I said, "I'm having a mission. You're coming?" She says, "I'm coming, certainly." And in the mission one night, she told this story. She'd gone to a jungle part of Africa, and there was nobody there who knew the Savior, but she brought the gospel. And she gathered a little company round her, and she founded a church. And she taught them all that she could teach them, and she was being a blessing to many of them. I think the little assembly grew to be about 200 people. God was blessing. And then she said one night, the terrorists or the rebels came to this part and everybody ran. And she said, I ran. I'm sorry, I ran. I ran in a different direction from the folks. And I got into a thick bit of the jungle and I crept under little low-grown bushes and just lay down. And then the thunder and lightning came. The same moment. She said, I heard these wild men coming through the bush, tramping over these bushes. And they would shoot into them. And they would shout and they would curse. She said, I started to tremble. I'd never trembled in my life. But every nerve in my body went. And then I was so ashamed that I'd run, and I was so ashamed that I was hiding, and so ashamed that I was trembling, that I nearly lost my senses. And I lay under this little bush and said, oh God, what's happening to me? And she said, Willie, I saw a man. He stood there. And he said, the devil has desired to sift thee as wheat, but I have prayed for thee. She said, with the Lord. So my trembling ceased. I got strength back. Instead of lying, crying, I got on my knees. So when we were coming home in the car, I said to her, that was a mighty experience, wasn't it? She said, it was the Lord. I says, I'm sure it was the Lord. I says, did you ever study what he really said? She says, no, I just know that it's what he said to Peter. The devil has desired to sift thee as wheat. I said, you know, dear, it's time you knew this. The word desired there is the same Greek word as the word asked. Because you know this, that when you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give thee the desires of thine heart, don't you? The things you ask for. You know that when... you know that he heareth you, then you have the petitions that you desired of him. It's the word asked. You know, the devil came round to God one day and asked for Job. He couldn't touch him, you know. He says, give him to me till you see what I'll do with him. I will, the devil had come and asked for the wee lass. Maybe you'll only learn when you go to heaven how many times he's asked for you. But the Lord prayed for her. Lord stood in between the devil and God. He says, no. I'm not getting her. And it was the prayer of Christ that gave her strength. The presence of Christ will give you strength. The power of Christ will give you strength. The prayers of Christ will give you strength. But sometimes the battle is not a lone battle. And sometimes the battle is not a changing battle when day after day changes. To be different days. And sometimes the battle is not a satanic battle. That's what she was fighting just then. Sometimes the battle's just a physical battle. You know, there are things that can go wrong with folks' eyes that you can't see. And I went through a period of that, you remember, about 2 years ago, when I thought I was honestly going blind, when I couldn't see the book with a magnifying glass. And there are things that go wrong with people's hearing. And some of the friends in this meeting this morning can't hear properly. When some of the boys come that don't speak out the way I do, they just can't hear them. So if you think that I'm shouting sometimes, you just take your time now. There's other folks who need to hear. And there are things that can go wrong with your speech, you know, when you can't get going. There's things that can go wrong with your feet and your hands and your heart and your lungs. And it can become a physical infirmity, and you're fighting a physical battle. You remember, this is what happened to Paul. I believe it was the blaze of glory that he looked into. Couldn't see properly. This thing annoyed him, and the devil saw that it annoyed him. He says, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness." You know, the Lord's preaching to Paul. And what a message it was. He says, "My strength." Oh, what a touch that is. My strength. My grace. The grace that took him through Pilate's hall. The grace that made him stand and not speak when they thumped him on the head with the reed. The grace that made him not squeal when they pushed the thorns in his brow. The grace that made him dumb when they ripped his back in for us. It ought to be enough for you, son. Ought to be enough now. It's all there for you, you know. It is a great touch in that text. My grace is. There's a great tense in that text. It's not will be, nor was. It is. Yours now. Yours for the taking. My grace is sufficient. There's a truth, you know. There's not only a touch and a tense. Friends, there's a truth here. It's sufficient. The Lord's grace must be sufficient. Then he explained this to Paul. He says, "Look, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. I can undertake for you, you know." Paul said, "Most gladly will I glory in my infirmities." Look, you might be called upon to fight a lone battle, okay, in the works or in the family or even in the assembly sometimes. Friend, I'll tell you this. The Lord will stand by you. Shut your eyes and reach out for him. You may be called to fight a changing battle. When day after day changes, and you can have a new battle every day of the week, but as thy days are, so shall thy strength be. May be a satanic battle, you know.
when the devil reaches out for you and even goes to heaven and says, I want him. He's asking. He was asking for Job. He was asking, no doubt, that night for the lass. Ah, but the Lord will pray for you. Might be a physical battle. I'll tell you this. Go down into the week, no matter what the battle is, or how it rages. It's the Lord's battle, and you're the Lord's soldier. The Lord's strength is there. I hope that all through the week you will be able to look up into heaven and say, Thou hast girded me for the battle. Make it yours now. God bless you.